archives as a documentary product of human activity are irreplaceable testimonies of past events and represent a wealth and unparalleled source of knowledge. South Sudan National Archives is making strides as it strives to preserve historic documents to make them available for future generations. Now, to tell us more about the digitizing process, we are joined in by James Laurie, and he's a digital archiving specialist. Alex Miskin is from the Rift Valley Institute, and he is a project officer. And we're also joined in by Sadiq Maurice, who is an intern in the South Sudan National Archives. Good morning, gentlemen, and it's good to have you.
Good morning.
Yes. And now, moving straight to James Laurie, digital archiving specialist. I mean, you've been here in South Sudan working in this national archives. Just tell us about your importance and why it is important for us to migrate to the digital, you know.
As you said, the archives here in the National Archives of South Sudan are a very important resource for the history of this country and the identity of the nation. And at the moment, they're in paper, and they're at risk from destruction by termites, by fire, flood, theft, all of these threats. And so digitizing these records makes sure that there is a copy available for historians and researchers and the citizens of this country into the future. And that's why the Rift Valley Institute is working here to make these digital copies.
Right. And yes, to you, Alex, what is the importance of these archives in South Sudan?
I think the importance of the archive is because it contains a lot of the history of the events that happened, especially during the colonial era. So we have documents starting from 1910s and reaching out until 1980s. So the documents, we have them in the National Archives in Monoki. Mm-hmm. So they're important basically in forms of, for example, the recent IBC report that is not yet published, also used a lot of archival resources in terms of the boundaries. And also we have a lot of information on conflict, resolution, cattle rustling. I think those are very important because it will help South Sudanese to understand how our forefathers and the previous government used to deal with the current issues that we had.
Right. Thank you so much, Alex. And now we have Sadiq Maurice. Sadiq is an intern with the National Archives here to tell us about his experience. You're welcome. Just tell me, what has your experience been?
Thank you, Radio Miraya. In the first place, I would like to appreciate RVI, who have made it possible for us to have our internship with them in the National Archives. As my name is Sadiq Maurice, I'm coming from Katoteki University, an intern in the National Archives. Majorly, our main reason of being there is actually to scan the documents. We are actually taken there as interns to do our internship for a period of more than 6 months, mm-hmm. so that we'll be able to do our internship there. There, we are actually taught the basics of how to go about the scanning processes, right from the introduction to the end, how we can be able to use the scanners, how we can be able to scan these documents properly in mm-hmm. organized manner as needed. I think this is basically what we are taught.
Right. Thank you so much, Sadiq, for that there. Now, James, we know about the progress and the strides that the National Archives is making to preserve these historical documents to make them available for the future generation. Where are we now? Just bring us to speed.
Mm. So this work has been going on for a couple of years now, and it's progressing very well. I believe the last estimate was around 30% of the collection is digitized. The digitization is being done to a very high standard so that we won't in future have to go back and do any of this scanning again. So they're capturing images at 600 dpi, which is very high quality, and the process that Maurice just talked about includes capturing metadata so that in the future people will be able to search the database right. and retrieve these images. Mm-hmm. So progress is going well.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yes, Alex, how can people access the National Archives?
I think before I come to that question, I need to add something on what James has said. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the digitization project started in 2010, and thanks to so many people, the Swiss and ECROM and others, ECOM, and now we are being supported by Norway through UNESCO, and we are very glad for the support. Only that the support keeps coming and going off, so we don't have a systematic support to continue the process. So that's why from 2010 to now, we're still around 30, although we have not yet incorporated the current work into the earlier percentage.
Right.
The question you ask, can you say it again?
How can people access
The national right data? Now, we are doing the digitization is basically being saved into backups and not yet accessible to the public, although the public are allowed to come to the National Archives right now. So what we are waiting for is the National Archive Bill, which is being pushed, and it's currently in the Ministry of Justice. So we're waiting because it will allow us to give the kind of access that the government will allow us to give to the people. But right now, everyone is welcome to the National Archive to access the paper ones that we have there.
Right. Thank you, Alex. Yes, Sadiq, this is just out of curiosity. How did you learn about the opportunity to come and to do your intern in the National Archives?
You know, I can just say it's a very good opportunity anyway. You know, what happened was actually just a call from RVI, that they need some fresh students to go and come and help in scanning processes.
Right.
So we also got that opportunity. We said, okay, we cannot leave it like that. We have to grab it.
Right.
After all, I'm a student, and as a student, you have to always be attached to sources of information. Mm-hmm. And we believe archive is a source of information. So we believe when we go there, we will be able to get in touch with so many informations that we have not got.
Right.
And for sure, based on our experience at the archives, we have come across a lot of experiences that we have not come across before.
That sounds good. Thank you so much, Maurice, there. Yes, James Lowry, you've already told us about the process that you're collecting data and things like that. So what are some of the historic pictures that can be seen at the National Archive, and how are you preserving them?
I think probably my colleagues here would be better placed to answer the question about the content of the collection, but the way that we're preserving, once you've made a digital copy, you have to preserve both the paper and the digital, and so there's a lot of work going on now to try and make sure that the physical records are protected, so they're being catalogued, cleaned, organised, and then boxed.
Right.
And then the digital copies, there are processes in place to make sure that they are backed up and that their integrity is checked so that the files don't become corrupted.
Right.
But I think probably...
Yes, Alex, just tell us, what is the content of those things that you collect?
We have... there are so many contents. Like I said before, we have contents of reports, we have education files, we have tribal files, which is talking about the different ethnic communities in South Sudan. We have meetings, reports on meetings, like I said before, of cattle rustling. We have chiefs and personality. We have personnel files, and we have administration files from the different provinces that we had before. And we also have files on boundaries, which has been accessed so many times by different people for different reasons. Mm-hmm. And we also have photos of cabinet from the high executive.
Right.
That's the 1972. We have cabinet of Joseph Lagu and Peter Gatkos, and we have so many others. We also have collections of newspapers, and we have also court books.
Interesting.
Yeah, we have so many. The content is long,
right,
and forestry, so many. It's basically everything that we think of, we have. Only that we don't have much on Bahr el-Ghazal region. We don't have a particular section dedicated to Bahr el-Ghazal region. That is because during the collection in the 1980s, when Douglas Johnson started it, so he started in Upper Nile and then in Equatorial region. So he was planning to go next to Bahr el-Ghazal. Then war of 1983 broke out, and it was difficult for him to continue. So after the peace in 2007, he came back, and together with RVI and the Ministry of Culture, Youth and Sport, with support from various actors, like I mentioned before, so we started collecting them, and that's basically what we have now. And we are now thinking about how we are going to go to the other places that are not represented in the National Archives, so that we can get their samples also, because we always get questions of why other parts of the country are not represented.
Right. Yeah. That's very interesting. And that brings me to the thought. Are the archives open for the students to come and probably, you know, be empowered also like you were about the history of South Sudan?
I think, like I mentioned before, everyone is welcome. The archive is open to all, and the students particularly, if they pick interest of coming to do archival research, they are very welcome. And we have been doing also outreach connected to the National Archive Project, whereby, like, when it started in 2017 with the support of UNESCO, we went to the parliament, we went to Konyokonyo Market, and we went to Custom. We also went to Juba Day. Just 2 days ago, we were at Whitaker Community Community Learning Center. We were telling the students of peace and conflict about the kind of material we have there. We also used some material to have them discuss in groups. And I think everyone, the students, are welcome because everything they need about, especially those who are talking about South Sudan communities,
right,
will be able to find the resources they need there.
Right, yes. And James Laurie, I know this is hard for you to project right now since Alex told us that the support is in and out. How long should we wait until our archives are digitized?
Yes, this depends on many factors such as budget, such as workforce, the availability of equipment and so on. But I think that we should take a long-term view of this, that once these collections are digitized, there are going to be papers coming in from other parts of the country, hopefully, and in time the ministries of government will start to transfer paper records into the National Archives, and they may want to digitize them as well. So what I really like about this project is that RVI, UNESCO are thinking about sustainability. So the staff are being trained, the equipment is being put in place so that there's effectively a digitization suite available to digitize all of these records that will come in the future.
Right, and I'm only left with that. Coming up to 8 minutes to the top of the hour. Very quickly, I would like to you to give me your last remarks in less than 2 minutes. I'll start with you, James Laurie.
I think that I would like to thank RVI for letting me be involved in this very important work, and also to UNESCO and the people of Norway for funding it, because as I said earlier, this is these records are vital sources for understanding the history of this country.
Right, thank you so much, James Laurie. Yes, Sadiq Maurice, I know you're an intern, but what would you tell your fellow students out there?
A country without history is always a fallen country. So what I would say to fellow students outside there is that is a lovely place for getting information. Like what Alex said, those who are doing archival research, they can be able to visit the National Archives so that they'll be able to continue to do their researches.
Right. And Alex Miskin?
I'll say thank you to Radio Miraya for giving the platform, and also to South Sudanese, because in most of our occasions we find people saying they don't know that the archive exists. I think through this radio I would like to tell the people that there is a National Archive, and it is based in Monoki, Souk Libya, and they are welcome anytime. If they have a question, they can come to RVI and ask about the National Archive, or else go to the Ministry of Culture, Youth and Sport, and also call for continued support for anyone from anyone who think about the importance of the history of South Sudan that is not yet being collected in the other parts of the country.
Right. Thanks. Alex Miskin, James Laurie, and Sadiq Morris, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, and that leaves us with only 7 minutes to the top of the hour. Well, James Laurie is the digital archiving specialist, and Alex Miskin is from the Rift Valley Institute, and he is a project officer, and we were also joined in by Sadiq Morris, who is an intern in the National Archives. Well, the National Archives is actually making strides as it strives to preserve historical documents to make them available for the future generation, as you heard there from the digital archiving specialist.